It's many years since I preached a sermon on this morning's reading from Ephesians, but it seemed good to revisit them now, because in July's newsletter, I don't know whether you remember, Francois reminded us of the dreadful spiritual state of our nation. Our king, our government, and even many of the established churches, all ignoring God and his word. Even our nearby Blackburn Cathedral has become a secular entertainment venue rather than a place for worshipping God. They've swapped the pulpit for the stage where performances happen quite often. They've stopped feeding the sheep and started entertaining the goats. Now is the time to stand in the gap, to pray and to be alert against all forms of evil. This is a spiritual battle, and we must be prepared for spiritual warfare, as Francois also reminded us at a prayer meeting last month when he read out these verses. Remember, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, against the people who don't know any better because their eyes have been blinded by Satan. No, it's a spiritual battle against spiritual forces far beyond our understanding. And we won't have any hope of winning these battles had not our general, the Lord Jesus Christ, already won the war by his death on the cross. After he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell those who have trusted in him, so that we might win these daily skirmishes. The war might have been won, but the devil still wants to fight until his time of destruction draws near. Earlier this month, we remembered the end of the Second World War as we celebrated VJ Day. Even after the armistice had been announced, some skirmishes continued in the jungle, even though victory was already won. A Japanese intelligence officer called Hiro Onoda continued guerrilla warfare on the Philippine island of Lubang until 1974, and when he finally was persuaded to admit that the war was over. Another Japanese soldier was found on the island of Guam, an American-controlled island in the Pacific, and that was in 1972. So skirmishes still continue after the war has been won. And as Christians, we should be ready for these daily spiritual battles. Christ has won the victory over sin and death, but Satan is continuing his guerrilla warfare and doing everything in his power before his time is up to frustrate God's kingdom growing and to get Christ's soldiers to fail in the fight. So we're called to report for duty every day, as Corrie ten Boom called it, to be ready, to be alert and prepared for the daily battle against sin, the world and the devil, as the Church of England prayer book puts it. In Roman times, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, and possibly the surrounding areas too, the people were used to seeing Roman soldiers marching through the streets or on sentry duty at the city gates. They will be familiar with the various pieces that made up the armour. And so Paul used this as an analogy for the Christian engaged in daily spiritual warfare. If a Roman soldier went into battle with only half his armour on, he would soon have been cut down. Without his helmet, his head would be vulnerable and he wouldn't last long. They would have knocked his block off, as we used to say when we were kids. If you do that again, I'll knock your block off. Without his breastplate, he could be stabbed in the heart or have his lungs pierced by arrows, as Daniel mentioned in his prayers. I thought he was going to read word for word my sermon, but fortunately he hasn't. Without his shield, the arrows would rain down upon him. And without his sword, he would have no means of attack and would just stand there defenselessly as blows rained down upon him. Soldiers went on parade daily and were inspected by their commanding officers to ensure that each piece of armor was in place correctly. Anyone without bits of armor would be disciplined and sent away to go and get it. As Christians, we too need to inspect ourselves daily to make sure that all our Christian armor is in place too. Are you in the faith? Are you a child of the promise, as we sang in our first song? Are you truthful in all you say and do? Are you trusting in Christ's righteousness? Have you sharpened your sword by reading God's word daily? It was unthinkable that a soldier would go into battle without his full armor on. Yet many who call themselves Christians do exactly the same. They enter the battlefield with little or no spiritual armor on and then wonder why they're defeated by sin every day. Many years ago, someone started coming along to church who claimed to be in the army and retired from there as a major. He claimed to have done all sorts of things while serving in the army, but when one of our number who had some connections with the army checked up on him, he was found to be a fraud. He hadn't been in the army at all, and he was just pretending to be a soldier. It's the same in the Christian life. Some pretend to wear parts of the uniform when they're not in the Lord's army at all. They may have a belt of truth around them. They appear good and kind people, but they have no helmet of salvation or any of Christ's righteousness, only a poor version of self-righteousness to cover themselves. It's a very serious matter pretending to be in the armed services when you're not. Just imagine if on Armistice Day, someone had a pretend uniform on and joined in the march with the rest of the British Legion. They'd soon be discovered, thrown out and shamed in the press. In the Christian army too, you cannot wear the proper uniform until you have truly repented of your sins and trusted Christ fully as your Saviour and Lord. As true Christians, we are entitled to wear the full armour of God. But the trouble is, not even true Christians wear all the armour every day, as I mentioned earlier, and so risk falling into the hands of the enemy Satan, who the Apostle Peter tells us wanders around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what our enemy's like. Let me just read you those words from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. And it starts on a similar theme to Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You know, a lion doesn't go after the strongest in the pack. He picks out the weakest. and the small ones, the ones who can't run very fast. So make sure you're the strongest Christian in the pack, and then the devil won't come after you. Be alert, Peter says. Resist him. Stand firm like a soldier on sentry duty, always on the lookout for the enemy. How many of you have your spiritual swords with you today? Hold them up. If you were on parade in the army and didn't have your main weapon with you, then you'd be put on a charge and sent off to get it. Be fully equipped when you come to church too. Carry your own Bible with you. It's a great witness as people see you coming up the slope to church with your Bible in the hand. People will realize that we take it seriously. So those with swords, please turn with me to that reading that Deborah read earlier, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're starting to look at verse 10. For those without swords, we'll show you a picture of a sword, and you can fight with that. How daft would that sound, coming from a commanding officer? If you haven't got your sword with you, we'll show you a picture of it, and you can try and fight with that. The Bible's words that we show here aren't so that you don't need your Bible, but so that you can see from different translations, if you're using the LSB or the NIV Church Bible, etc. And remember, carrying a Bible can literally save your life. A soldier in the American Civil War carried a Bible in his breast pocket. He was shot in the chest, but the bullet hole only went through to Psalm 119. I have hidden your word in my heart. So we start to read Paul's last words in Ephesians chapter 10, where he starts off, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Perhaps I don't need to say anything else. Perhaps that's all you need to remember this morning. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. These were Paul's last words to the Ephesians. Last words that famous people say on their deathbed or wherever have always fascinated people. You can find books of them or lists online. Like the American Civil War general who wasn't as fortunate as his soldier. When told to take cover as the Confederates were shooting at him, he looked over the top and said, "They couldn't hit an elephant at that distance." Paul's last words to the church in Ephesus were well worth remembering as well. "We're to be strong in the Lord," verse 10 says, "and to stand firm like the sentry on duty that we mentioned earlier." Look how many times Paul mentions this. Four times he mentions it in three verses. So I think he wants you to get the message somehow. Look at verse 11, verse 13 and verse 14 where it says, verse 11, "Take your stand," and verse 13, "Stand your ground." And again, when you've done everything, stand. Verse 14, "Stand firm." Stand firm and be strong in the Lord. Remember that in the end, the battle isn't ours, but God's. But that doesn't excuse us from putting on our full armour as a defence against the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes are many, and we need to be aware of them. Like any good soldier, know your enemy. He uses our weaknesses, which we all have, against us. That's why we need to be alert and to stand firm. He challenges God's word, as he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Did he really say, you will not die? And so Eve believed him, because she hadn't trusted in God's word. That's why we need to know God's word intimately. People will say, well, a loving God can't send everybody to hell, can he? But that's not what it says in the Bible. Only those who trust in the Lord Jesus as their Saviour will be going to heaven. Whereas many people out there in the world just think everybody's going to heaven. They say, oh, happy heavenly birthday, when that person's never thought about God at all in his life. The devil can twist scripture around, as he did with Jesus in the wilderness. That's another reason why we need to keep our swords sharp, to know God's word, to be discerning when it's taken out of context. And so Paul reminds us in verse 13, as well as in verse 11, to have our full armour on. A second reminder again, because it's vitally important. Men, talking to the men now, ladies, I hope you don't mind for 2 seconds. When you get dressed in the morning, is the belt the first thing you think about putting on? Probably not. There's a few things that we need to put on before our trousers and our belts go on, no doubt. But the Romans weren't dressed as we are, and so Paul starts off with the belt in verse 14. Because for a soldier, it was one of the most vital pieces of equipment. And here's a picture of it, I think, Michael. There we are. A Roman soldier with his belt. Not like the little slim belt that we put on. Not only did a Roman belt provide space for his sword and for his other weapons to be attached to it, but suspended from the front, as you can see there, were straps of studded leather. These not only showed what rank you were to other soldiers, the more straps and studs you are, the higher your rank, but it also protected the tops of your legs and thighs. Paul called this belt for the Christian truth, and we looked at the 9th commandment this morning, didn't we? That you'll not bear false witness. One of the most vital things is truth. Truth among Christians is the most vital commodity. Protecting our integrity. Showing we affirm the word of God from which all truth flows. Like the Roman soldier's belt, buckled and firmly in place, it shows to others that we are part of the Lord's army. Whether we've only got one strap or whether we've got 10 straps, we are part of the Lord's army. Without it, our Christian life becomes showy and flimsy, having no substance to it. In the same way, a soldier without his belt would leave himself vulnerable. Not only would his sword and his dagger and other things be lost, but his tunic that you can see under the belt would float all over the place in battle without the belt to hold things together. Truth is one of the first vital pieces of equipment for the Christian armour. At the end of verse 14, we see the breastplate of righteousness mentioned. A breastplate, as we've heard earlier, protects the vital organs of the chest, the heart and the lungs, without which a soldier couldn't function. It's the same for the Christian. Without our hearts protected by Christ's righteousness, we can't function as Christians. As God's word reminds us, we don't have any righteousness of our own, but only that which is given to us through Christ when we come to him as our Saviour and Lord. Because he died on the cross, those who have trusted in Christ receive his righteousness, which protects our hearts from all that the devil might throw at us. Things like, call yourself a Christian. Christians shouldn't be doing things like that. You might hear that whispered in your ear by the devil. But God's word reminds us in Romans 8 verse 1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For all our guilt and shame has been paid for by him on the cross. So are you in Christ Jesus? Have you really and truly trusted him as your Saviour? Then your righteousness is from Christ and protects you. If you're only pretending to be a soldier of Christ, then your flimsy breastplate of your own making will soon fall victim to the devil's arrows. Roman soldiers' footwear next is mentioned in verse 15, which follows on as one sentence from verse 14, emphasizing again the need to stand firm. Let me just read it to you as a reminder from verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. All these three pieces of armour are following a same theme. A soldier's footwear was made out of strong leather with hobnails driven into the base of them like studs on a football boot, but with more of them. This enabled the soldiers to stand firm in line so that the ranks couldn't be broken by an advancing enemy. For the Christian too, knowing the gospel of peace enables us to stand firm whenever we're challenged about our faith. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us. If you are sure of the gospel to which you cling, then it's like a Roman soldier who has his feet firmly planted on the ground, an unshakable faith to tell others. So get your boots on and get them laced up properly, and especially on Saturday, so that you can stand firm and you can tell others about the gospel of peace when challenged. In verse 16, we see the shield. The shield was one of the most important defensive weapons that the Roman army used. It wasn't some little round shield that you see in gladiator films or how Captain America appears on Marvel films. No, it was a substantial piece of equipment, a convex rectangular in shape, a measuring about 4 feet tall, that's over a meter in new money, and about 3 feet wide, and it covered the soldier from his shoulder to his knees. It not only protected the individual soldier, but a block of men too, locked together side by side with shields overlapping all around, and on top the ones on the edge would have the shields interlocked, the ones on in the middle would have them on top, so it was like a tortoise shell almost. It not only protected the individual, but it protected the whole block of about 50 men who would use this to advance, and meant that they were protected from spears and arrows thrown from any direction. The faith that we have been given as Christians will protect us as individuals from whatever the devil throws at us. But better still, Christians united together in fellowship and worship, supporting and encouraging each other, form an almost impenetrable barrier against Satan and his wiles. That's why we're told in Hebrews 10 verse 25, not to give up the habit of meeting together. A soldier doesn't go into battle on his own, he'd soon be shot down, and neither should we as Christians. Meeting together regularly is one of the best means of defense. So I urge you, come to the prayer meetings. Come to the Bible studies when we start them again soon. Come on Sunday afternoons. And come especially this Sunday afternoon to hear Michael, because he's been researching and practicing, and God's given him a great word to speak to us this afternoon. Bring your unconverted friends, because it's a gospel service too. So come and be part of that unit, all holding our shields together. And finally, verse 17. The helmet, protecting the head, which speaks for itself. So vital, without which we couldn't function. For the Christian, being sure of your salvation by regularly reading God's word and having fellowship with others protects our minds from the distracting thoughts that lead us away from the Lord. The arrows of doubt and fear will be deflected as we commune with the Lord in prayer and in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Also in verse 17 we see, as we mentioned before, the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God, the written word and the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sword was the main weapon of attack. A soldier wouldn't go onto a battlefield with just his defensive armor on. As good as it was, he wouldn't be able to be any use for the Roman army. All he could do was just stand there and hope that his armor would hold up against the devil. He wouldn't last 2 minutes. He also needs his own weapon of attack, the sword. And it's the same for Christians too. Unless you're wielding the sword of the word of God by reading it, memorizing it, hearing it preached, you'll be like a soldier who doesn't know how to use his sword properly, slashing aimlessly in all directions and helpless when the enemy comes along. Remember how Jesus used scripture to defend too against the devil's attacks. A sword isn't just a weapon of attack, it can be a weapon of defense too. So keep your sword sharp. Read God's word. Study it. Memorize it. Know how to use it to defend your faith and to resist attacks upon it. Know what you believe and be alert and ready to give an answer when questioned. That old hymn, stand up for Jesus, reminds us, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. When duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Prayer is also a vital piece of the Christian's armory. Look at verse 18 as we get to the end, where Paul says, after he's described all the armor, he says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints, for all God's people. Be alert. keep on praying. This is why we as a church put so much emphasis on prayer meetings. We have prayer meetings twice before the service. We have prayer meetings before the evening service. We have a prayer meeting on Tuesday. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday. We pray before the outreach. We pray every time we come together because it's so important. Pray. Be alert. Be strong in the Lord. And most importantly, be sure you have your full armor on each day. Amen.